Leigh, I think the question is that when you are a people manager or really passionate about talent management and you want to balance being a generalist with a company that really values specialist skills and how you, not only how you balance that, but also how do you then value what you have yourself, in yourself?
Okay, and are you asking this because from a general, like building your brand, or are you asking about getting promoted and being known for it?
Yeah.
Level? What's the context? Of
No, great question. I think the context is getting promoted and getting to a more senior level in your career and how you balance that and how you navigate and the story you tell yourself in a company where specialization, but actually more than that, subject matter expertise is valued. It's prized above all.
Yeah. And that's a really interesting question because a lot of times I listen to podcasts or read articles, they talk about two distinct paths, people managers versus specialists. And I find sometimes that there might be an overemphasis and there's a little bit of a middle ground where when you're a people manager, and maybe it's just definitional, right? When you're a people manager, that doesn't mean your only skill is to manage people. Because being a leader of a team has two sides to it. One is you have to have a way to be able to define the strategy and the vision and the high-level wrapper of how that team should work together and delegate responsibilities and ownership accordingly to the right teams under you. And then, two, be there as the leader who is a people leader who motivates and watch out for their development and really address this issue when it's escalated. Both of those things are very important to be a people leader, which sometimes, and then as a specialist, my definition of specialist, someone who's like deep, they may not manage anybody. And they just know from soup to nuts a subject, right? But I think at different companies, people use those words differently. About what you specialize, because a lot of people leaders who are becoming senior leaders at a company actually kind of have to know how to solve problems for their department. And they may not be specialists, meaning like to the nth degree answer the most detailed questions about that problem, but they have a team to do that. But they understand the larger drivers of what is the company strategy, what is the large big issue that the company gave that department to solve, very ambiguously, right? And then you're that leader who needs to take that ambiguous thing, figure out what should be the direction to follow today, what is urgent, you prioritize, you've got a whole team of people to then allocate that. That may not be the utmost specialist that I described before, but that takes business expertise. And that's not just, hey, I'm good at managing people. That requires, a good leader has a combination of those skills, right? You've got to have a vision. You've got to set that vision. But you got to inspire a team to follow and sort of really inspire them to high performance. And you got to be the lead for that. If you don't know anything about that subject matter expert, it doesn't matter how well you inspire other people, you can't be at the top and succeed.
Absolutely. And how do you do that in an organization that it may not value people management? How do you spin that in a way?
But I think it's true, right? Everything is about perception at work. It is very much about, and I think you asked a really interesting question. You said, how do I perceive myself that way?
Yes.
And what words do I use to then communicate that? And that's really a great level of self-awareness because, frankly, unless you start believing that you are a leader and a strategist and can own a subject matter, nobody else will believe it if you don't believe it yourself.
Yes.
So I'm here to kind of talk about those things because, one, you absolutely have to be successful. Whatever, mm-hmm. And what department are you in now? Kind of tell me a little bit about
that. Absolutely. So I'm a leader in technology, and specifically we are responsible for the websites of a financial services company.
Okay. And are you technical or are you there as a technology leader but to make the technology work to support the business vision and strategy?
It would be the latter. So I'm not a technologist. I'm a leader to bring everything together.
Right, which requires you to understand the business context enough about technology and leveraging the expertise from some of your specialists on your team to actually solve the longer-term, larger issue that your department owns, right?
Right.
And that actually isn't, and this is where wording, right? That means you have to be a kind of business strategist leveraging technology. That's what you're good at already. And if you're being successful now and they're considering you for promotion, I think you got to give yourself more credit that you've been doing it.
And I think you're right.
And I don't think it means that, oh, you need to know HTML and how to build a website. No, you have a team of people who are developers who built that. You can't be a specialist there and also be the leader of technology, right? The leaders and going to the next level is all about sort of connecting dots at the macro level and having a breadth of knowledge that moves the needle for a company versus imagine if you're such a big specialist in a technology, yet, like, I don't know how there's kind of this balance to be so technical because technical people can build great stuff, but they may not have the relevance for what the business needs, right? It's just they love code, right? And so I think that the skill, it's like move away from almost positioning yourself in front of your executive leaders as, oh, I'm not a specialist. Because that is not, because they value knowledge, business knowledge to solve problems. So for you to say, I'm not a specialist, you're actually turning people off. And I don't think you're actually not. At the level that you are, I would say you avoid saying that. Instead, you say, I'm excellent at integrating, figuring out what technology could meet or exceed or support the business vision that we have. And here's my proof, right? I built a team, and here's a big, meaty problem that I solve. Here's another big, meaty problem I solve. What you're saying to them is that I am a leader that will solve your issues by integrating different competencies together in a way that is ambiguous, and I can lead a team that can make that happen.
Yes. And I think what's so important is I don't think I've been using that language. I have been hiding behind, you know, I'm not a technologist. I don't know this. I don't know that. But not using the language that I think one thing that you said that was just so key is knowledge, right? They want to know that I have the business knowledge in order to do this. And in order, and my words and the way I say it is not coming across as presenting that. And in order to present that, I would need to really, first of all, speak the words that resonate with them and that I believe in.
Exactly. I think it is both things, right? Because if you speak the word but you don't believe in, they'll feel it at some point. But I do think that you're not giving, there's almost a little bit of an undersell, over-deliver tendency I'm hearing from the way you position yourself. And also there's, I mean, it's not uncommon, right? And the recognition, especially the example you gave me, I'm not this, I'm not that, it's almost always coming from a negative.
Mm-hmm.
And just avoiding those terms altogether and say, I am this, I can solve this for you. Connect the dots about how you've been helpful to them, how mm-hmm. you can be even more helpful. Because I actually think sometimes it's rare to find a people manager who can be so good at looking at ambiguous issues and connect the dots between different departments and actually solve and be effective in managing different disciplines under them. Mm-hmm. And you are that, right? Because you're not a technologist, but you are leading effectively technology teams and non-technology teams and aligning stakeholders who are technology stakeholders, non-technology stakeholders. And that's actually something to boast about with actual tangible facts.
Got it. Yes, yes. And I think that that's the lens that I need to work on that I have not. I think that it has been coming, I think, to be honest, from it, like you said, a negative area of, oh, gosh. And then I'm overvaluing or over representing just people without, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. And the word people don't resonate, the word specialists do, right? So you could potentially, if you specialize in solving large ambiguous issues that different departments need to connect the dots to have to solve, and the most recent example is you understand enough about technology to manage a technology team, you understand enough about the business issues to figure out what they need and come up with a solution that is technically feasible and elegant but delivers business value, that's your value.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. And I think that what I undersell and underappreciate is many times the technologists are coming up with a technical solution, and therefore I'm splitting hairs between, did they do it? Did I do it? Don't want to,
Interesting. Do they work for you?
They do.
Yeah. And do you believe that you should always hire people smarter than you?
Yes.
And there's always best practice out there. The most successful leaders are the ones that get out of the way and know what they know and know what they don't know. That doesn't mean self-deprecating yourself all the time, but you're there as a leader. You're not there as an individual contributor.
Yep.
And so you're there to motivate them. So giving them credit is also your strength, right, to be able to motivate that. That doesn't take away from, I think there's a little bit of that self-confidence. You know, overachievers like ourselves, we tend to get a little more critical of ourselves because we don't know everything. It is such a interesting folly to fall in because there is no one out there that knows everything.
There isn't. And the thing is, when you're an overachiever and you hear, you know, and you position yourself and as a talent or a people manager, and you kind of box yourself in because you're not talking the language that really shows how you deliver that. Because, you know, to your point, there's strategy, there's vision, everything involved to actually make your team effective, to solve ambiguous problems, to connect the dots with stakeholders. And that all is a talent and a skill set.
So I would recommend two things, right? One exercise for yourself where you, instead of looking at yourself and how you manage people and how long people stay with you, which is like almost a given that you can talk about, is look at the latest big issues you've been able to solve in the last 2-3 years for the customers and for the company. And start talking about that as your predominant thing, right? Because a company that values specialization will value the type of needle you move for the business.
Yes.
And if you start there and it's a de facto, hey, I did that really because I could really retain and motivate as well as define a strategy for a big team. That's the context they can listen to. Well, how did you do that? Well, it's a team effort. But I set the goal. Claim your credit. Don't give credit too much to everyone else, and don't blame any for yourself.
Got it.
And the second one is just practice not saying, I don't know this. I don't know. It's a little bit of a crutch to make sure people don't over-expect things from you.
Actually, if
you're trying to get promoted, you're there to tell them why you're better than everyone else.
Got it.
So own that and do that. So, and, you know, practice that. I think you'll do great.
Oh, thank you. This is really wonderful advice. And I'm gonna take those two things to heart.
Awesome. Glad I can help.
Thank you.